5. In Psalm 5. This is what it says in the NIV version. It says, "In the morning, Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly. You are not a God who is pleased with wickedness. With you, evil people are not welcome. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. The bloodthirsty and deceitful, Lord, you detest. But I, by your great love, can come into your house. In reverence, I bow down towards your holy temple." If we think about God, what do we think he's like? We have different ideas, some that we've sort of got as we've gone through life, some people maybe have spoken to us, and we get some idea of what God's like. You get sometimes the idea that he's this big man somewhere on a cloud, watching out for everybody who's doing wrong, and as soon as they do wrong, then he jumps on. I was talking to a guy not too long ago, and he says, you know, I can't really get along with the idea of this big man on a fluffy cloud. Well, he didn't like that. That's why he can't get along with it, because it really isn't like that. But it tells us in Psalm 5 certain things about him, what he likes and what he doesn't like. And as we work through them, we sort of think, yeah, that sounds right. Because to get a good, accurate idea of what God's like, we need to look at the Bible. First of all, it says that he's not pleased with wickedness. Or, if you put it in one modern version, you don't socialise with the wicked. And if we have this idea of God being good, and wickedness, that seems the opposite end of the spectrum. So you can say, yeah, I can understand how God, who is good, doesn't like what's bad. It also says in Psalm 5 that the evil aren't welcome with him. Well, that word there that's translated evil, it can mean bad, disagreeable, or even malignant. Have you ever come and crossed anybody who's malignant? They seem to have a real sort of bad streak in them, and they're determined to make other people suffer. Have you ever come across people like that? Yeah? God doesn't associate with people like that, it says in Psalm 5. He doesn't associate with anything that isn't good. It also says that he doesn't like the ones who are arrogant, the ones who are boastful. They're not allowed anywhere near him. He actually hates those who do wrong, those who cause trouble or sorrow. God hates those people. He detests, that's quite a strong word, isn't it? He detests the ones who are bloodthirsty, the ones who are out to do no good and actually wrong people. God detests those. As you talk to people, most people consider themselves quite good. Yeah? Say, yeah, I'm as good as, and then might name somebody, or I'm as good as you.
Yeah.
You know, here you are saying such and such and this one and everything else, you know, but I'm as good as you are. Yes? You come across that. That's fairly common, isn't it? Because most people like to consider themselves as good or good enough. And the things that I've sort of gone through up to press, most people have said, yeah, that's quite reasonable. You know, people who are malignant, wicked, bloodthirsty, they're not very nice people. We don't like those people. They're not good enough. So, in that sense, we can understand God not liking people like that, yes? And not wanting to be associated with them. But there's something else that's tucked in there. And it says that. It says God will destroy those who tell lies. Now, we might not consider ourselves to be bloodthirsty. We might not think of ourselves as being wicked. And maybe we're miles away from being malignant. But have we ever told lies? Is there anybody who's gone through life and never told a lie? Can't think, well, it certainly doesn't apply to me. But that seems a different category, doesn't it? You know, we're talking about bloodthirsty people, malignant people, people who cause trouble. People who tell lies? Is it really that bad? But it says there that he's going to destroy those who tell lies. That seems a bit harsh. You know, you can actually translate that word destroy there as exterminate. Think of the Daleks, you know, will exterminate. God will exterminate those who tell lies. Well, how on earth is anybody going to get to be with God? What sort of standard is that? The psalmist wanted to be with God, and yet he's given this whole wide ranging category that covers virtually everybody and says, God's not going to associate with you. So how good would you have to be with God? What would you have to do to get to God? But he told us there in that last verse. In verse 7 it says this, but I, by your great love, will come into your house. Does that seem strange? But first of all, he's talking about how people carry on, bad things you do, and how God doesn't want to associate you. And yet he says that by your love, I can come into your house. To get to God, you've simply got to be loved by God and rely on his love. But who does God love? Is it the select few? Is it the special ones, the great ones? The ones who've maybe not told too many lies? No. That's not what it says. It says anybody who's told lies, even included. But God's love reaches out to everybody. It tells in John 3:16, this is how much God loved the world. The whole world. Everybody in the world. He gave his son, his one and only son. And this is why. So that no one need be destroyed. Anyone can have a whole lasting life with God because of his love for us. Not by what we do, not by what we don't do, but simply by accepting his love for us. We get to God by being loved by God. It tells us in Revelation 3, 19-20, the people I love, the whole wide world, are called to account. I prod, correct, and guide so that they'll live at their best. Up on your feet. Run after God. Look at me. Because I come, I stand at the door, and I knock. If you hear me call, open that door, I'll come right in with you, and we can have supper together. The God who doesn't associate with the wicked, the God who is the one who detests so much wickedness, the one so malignant, is the same God who loves each and every one of us, and says that if you will accept it, the free gift is being with me forever. And if you accept that, then I'll start to change you. I'll start to transform you. As it said there, prod, correct, and guide. If you want to be with God, you simply have to take him at his word, because that's how he wants to take us. Give a new life, a life with him, better than anything else. Not a life of trying to be right, because we can't be right. But the life of accepting that God loves us, takes care of us, and is willing to accept us on his terms, and simply because we believe.